We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back. It's the Bull and the Fox with you on the Fan. Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Does a great job with The Athletic. Joe Vardon is with us. Joe, how you doing, pal? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, you know the answer to that, Bull.
I do.
Texting earlier. It's just it's a bummer of a day.
And, it is.
You know, just as an aside, you know, without giving anything away, like, I've got a story on my screen that I'm working on that says this is the worst season in NBA history. So that's just, like, as an aside, like, if everything else didn't suck, yeah, which it does, like, that's just kind of bumming me out, too.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's you know, we've been trying, you know, you try to get away from it from sports, and right now sports and the world and politics are all kind of crashing. It's even hard to get away from it. We mostly do here, but it is a tremendously tough time with everything going on in the country, in the world. And sometimes it's hard to just think about pleasant things, you know?
Yep. I do, and it's like, I mean, I'm as health conscious and as worried about the virus and getting people sick as anybody else. There's no question about that. But I want the NBA to come back. Yeah. I want to go to work. I want to celebrate, you know, the good of that the league can generate. And man, now my man Shams is reporting that, you know, Adam Silver gave July 31st as the target date to start this thing. It's like, yeah, oh my goodness, there's another 2 full months of no basketball.
Yeah, and you know, Joe, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, it seems like the last report we saw, I think that they want to push towards just the playoff games, I believe. I mean, at this point, it doesn't make sense to try and finish the regular season. Wouldn't you agree?
You know, I don't know. I mean, there are some real arguments to be made here. Health and safety is one reason that you just take 16. Another is money. The NBA can't make any money. None. Zero. By doing this. They can lose a lot of money. They can lose the
right.
most money
Absolutely.
By not playing at all.
Yep.
And then they can also lose some, you know, lose some by playing the full 30, just because of how much money it costs to keep everybody Disney World for those couple weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the flip side of that, there's the argument of regional TV dollars, which are hard to count because it goes team by team, but that would be a reason to do this. So, you know what? I don't have an answer for you, Dustin. I don't know what makes more sense. I think I lean towards just bringing the 16 teams in and finishing the season or the playoffs.
Yep. Yeah, you know, I saw in Cham's tweets that he references the fact that a lot of the teams want the season to end no later than October 1st. And if
yeah.
you're going to come back July 31st and end the season no later than October the 1st, I don't see how you can play regular season. The playoffs normally take 2 months. Obviously, you can shorten them up some because there's not going to be the travel, so you could have less days off. But still, I mean, I don't know if they're going to want to have back-to-backs. I don't know how fast you can play it, but I can't imagine you would have time if truly you want to end by October 1st, Joe, to even play regular season games.
Yeah, right. That's one thing. And then the other thing is, like, I don't get this from the standpoint of they want to do everything they can to stay out of the way of the NFL. And probably to a lesser degree college football too, but certainly stay out of the way of the king of professional sports. Okay. So if we would start in mid-July, we could largely do that. Yep. You know, the NFL, if everything goes right, doesn't really kick off until like mid-September. You can just about be done with the finals by then if you started on time. And so the lag time makes me nervous, and it's like teams are already heading back to their facilities now and on an individual basis. Like, I'm not saying everybody's in shape, but they're starting to work their way into this. Like, I don't know. I don't pretend to know exactly what's going on inside some of these discussions and what the concerns are to wait all the way until July 31. But I don't know, man. It just seems like they could get the players ready to start earlier than that.
Good point.
Joe, what have you heard in terms of the type of shape the players are in currently?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this thing of the teams being allowed to bring their guys back on an individual basis for workouts, I think that's really good. The thing was is that it was staggered, right? Like, there were – when this – it was a couple of weeks ago when teams could start doing this, and it was based on where they were in the country and what that state's laws were in terms of being allowed to have businesses open. So some teams, like our Cavs, had access right away. And some, you know, teams that are really good, like Boston, the Boston Celtics. I mean, they're in it, and they haven't been to the facility yet. So, you know, some players are still in decent shape. I think no one anymore is in the type of tip-top game shape that you'd want them to be. And so, kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier, guys, about what to do when the season restarts. You need some kind of ramp up that you cannot get when you just practice. Like, right. You have to have some kind of on-court competition to get the players into some semblance of shape to play these real games.
We're talking with Joe Vardon from The Athletic. Joe, when we talk, when, you know, obviously they're still discussing a few proposals. We've already talked a little bit about regular season, but, you know, some of the proposals included the group stage. And when I first heard that, I loved the idea, although I saw somebody say, what do you do if a team's 0-5 and now they don't want to play their guys anymore, and that could affect the playoffs? They've talked about, you know, just having a kind of a play-in round, and they've talked about the possibility of 1-16 seeds, but conferences not matter, all to draw a bigger audience. I think anything's going to draw a bigger audience, but do you think this is the time to be creative?
So I've been asked this question a number of times this week, and yeah. Like, I don't really I wish I could just say yes or no. And what I end up doing is talking about both sides of the issue, which is weak and noodle-like. But, you know, the whole world changed. Like, it's different. It's different than it was when basketball shut down. And we're in a pandemic, and the whole thing is going to happen at Disney World that's never happened before. So if there were ever a time to try crazy stuff, it's right now, right? And we would all eat it up because of the newness of it. On the other side of this, though, if you do that, you are almost wiping out everything that happened during the regular season. And it's not like we had a half of a season. I mean, teams played 65, 67, 68, maybe even 70 games, I think, was the most. I mean, like, we did the season. And, you know, the Lakers and the Bucks and the Clippers and the Raptors, my God, like, they should get something for what they did. They should get their seeding. And I'm going to be honest, you know, these Eastern Conference teams, you know, they came into the year playing by a certain set of rules. And they didn't think that they would have to win so many games that they would have to make sure they're in a top four seed in a 1-16 tournament. They just thought they had to be good enough to be at the top of the East so then they could play the bottom crappy teams in the East. I mean, those are the rules. And I just feel like we played too many games in a regular season to get away from that. So I guess I answered the question anyway. I think I'm on the side of playing it straight, man.
How do you think Zion in the Pelicans would do in the playoffs?
Well, I think when basketball shut down, I think they would have done pretty well. I mean, they had lost a couple maybe that they shouldn't have lost, but overall they were gaining. Not only was Zion just incredible, but Brandon Ingram was having a great year. Lonzo Ball had really started to find his own, and that team was you know, again, there were some losses that hurt them very, very late before the shutdown. But overall, I think that they would have made a real push to try to get in. You know, and the Grizzlies, after kind of being not very good coming out of the All-Star break, had started to get it together again. So what I think the answer is, Dustin, is I think they would have made a brilliant push, and then I don't know what would have happened. And now in a restart, and this is not only for the Pelicans, but it's about the Sixers and the Heat and even the Lakers. Like, we don't know. We're like, everybody lost their rhythm. And so, you know, on paper, I love the Pelicans. I think that they're a really interesting team, but I don't know how the layoff would affect any of these guys.
I'm talking with Joe Vardon. Joe, is there any hope, not this year, obviously, and you know, but is there, when you look at the Cavs and what they've done the last year and two thirds and with some of the young players they have, is there reason for optimism with the Cavs at all right now?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what, like, if you don't mind, if you have a minute, tell me what you mean by optimism. Like, what
optimism
are you
that
for?
They could be a, I'm not even say a championship team, because that's too big a stretch. Could they, in a few years, be a team that's a middle-of-the-road playoff team? Middle-of-the-road playoff team.
Yeah, I think so. I think Colin Sexton's a decent player. I do. I don't think he's great yet. I don't know if he will be. Yes, I know that he has major holes in his game when it comes to moving the ball. He's had it really rough in the pick and roll, but like, we knew that. What we didn't know coming in was the kind of shooter he would become and the kind of scorer that he would become, and I think that's legitimate. So I think that was a decent draft pick. And what they did with Andre Drummond, I mean, you know, I don't know if it's going to work, but I think it was worth trying, and I think it has given them a shot at a couple of things. I think if Andre picks up the option, which we widely expect, he becomes a player that Kevin Love may want to play next to. And maybe in a year, in a full season, like, maybe they make this team decent. By having Andre on the roster, at least for the next season, they don't have to spend what would be huge cap space on players that you wouldn't want to give money to, who aren't going to be a part of your system anyway. And then we'll see. Like, does he want to be here long term? Do the Cavs want him long term? Can they flip him for something decent at the deadline? They bought themselves some more options and some more upside, and also gave themselves a chance to be, like, somewhat decent. And that's what you want. You want Colin, you want Darius, and whoever else you think is good that's young. You want them to have a chance to play in some games that count. That's what you want, and I feel like maybe they might have something like that next year.
What do you think about Bickerstaff?
Yeah, here's
why did they sign him so soon?
Well, he fits the mold, guys. Like,
okay.
It goes back to the coaching search from before. JB was the prototype of the kinds of people they were interviewing. And he fits precisely the kind of team this is going to be for, like, a while. You want a guy who's relatively young, who knows what it's like to work with these players on the floor before games, to develop pros, but also understands the pro game. Okay, John Beilein was really only one of those things, and obviously was a colossal failure. So JB is the kind of coach they should have hired immediately. He has had reasonable, not great, but reasonable success in the couple of, like, fits and starts that he's had as a head coach in this league. So on this team, with his resume and kind of what they've got going forward for the next couple years, like, he deserves a real shot, and he deserves it here. And as an aside, I mean, let's be real. His father is a senior advisor to Kobe Altman. So, like, right. I was shocked that something like this didn't happen before. And now that, you know, the Beeline experiment fell flat on its face, like, JB is the kind of guy that should get a chance to see what he can do on with this team.
Last thing, Joe, when they eventually do whatever it's called, the last dance version of LeBron, and I don't know if it'll be about the Cavs or maybe more specifically about LeBron, who will get more airtime, you, Jason, or Dave?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I could smell this question coming from a mile away. I think the documentary opens with the three of us and you two in your studio at the end of that last season. And just, like, there's all these different clips. Like, we didn't know, but Dustin had his iPhone going, like, recording this as a video. And, like, that's just throughout the documentary, I think.
One of the best shows ever. We love doing that show. And I think you guys had a good time as well. It was great.
Oh, it was a great time. Great time.
Joe, awesome stuff as always, man. Good to catch up. We'll talk to you again soon. Be well.
Yep. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, you got it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.